The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off! Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field, has Rasul Douglas blocking, five, touchdown Buffalo! Pressure coming, and the screen is intercepted by Austin Johnson, his second interception of the season! Hand off, no, it's a keeper for Allen, through the left side, 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown! Pressure coming, and Flacco is going to get wrapped up and sacked by Taron Johnson! Looking down the right side, it's batted out of the air, or was it fumbled? Greg Rousseau, did he strip it out? Yes, he did, and it's Buffalo football! Back to pass, looking over the middle, doesn't have anybody. Pressure coming, and he sacked Quentin Jefferson, the new man on the block! Back to pass, pressure coming, looking for Pierce, and it's picked off by Taylor Rapp! Handoff goes to Cook, and it's a race to the pylon as Cook flips into the end zone for a 2-yard touchdown run.
When I listen to those highlights, you know what strikes me? The crowd. You're in Indianapolis, and it sounded like a darn home game for the Buffalo Bills yesterday in Indianapolis against the Colts. The Bills with a 30-20 victory over the Colts yesterday. It was a day that started off great. Then you had a little bit of kind of scariness in there, and then the Bills took control a little bit later. They move to 8-2 on the season, the first time. The Buffalo Bills have been 8-2 in 31 freaking years. Three decades since the Bills have been 8-2. Not even in this regime, with all the success they've had with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and all the winning that they've done, have they been 8-2 after 10 games. Feels good on a Buffalo victory football Monday here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. Thank you for joining me. I am live at KeyBank Center today on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's because we got a Sabres game. Speaking of winning games, this team is hot, too. They've won three in a row. They're right there. They win today. They get above 500 for the first time this season. They take on the Montreal Canadiens. That's a 12:30 p.m. start. So we're going to have Sabres pregame for you after the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show ends here at noon. So I'm here at KeyBank Center, ready to rock and roll. Gonna have the radio show today. I got my man Max with me up in the radio booth. He's going to be sitting down cheering on his Buffalo Sabres today, as I know that it's a holiday and kids are off and schools are off and federal employees are off. Maybe you're off today. Maybe you're not. I'm here for you on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, the reason why everybody's off today, it is Veterans Day. So let me also open by saying thank you so much to all who served. We are so indebted for your service. And we wouldn't be able to do things like this, talk about sports for a living and share our passion and our dreams to do what we've wanted to do, like me, since I was a little kid, to be here to talk about the Bills and the Sabres on a Monday without the sacrifices that were made by so many of you for so many of years. Thank you so much for all of you out there who are listening. We salute our veterans today on this Veterans Day 2024. The Sabres, they play at 12:30. The Bills, of course, yesterday, a big 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts. All right, The Catholic Health Extra Point Show today, of course, on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Of course, that is our Buffalo Football Monday, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We got a lot to get to today. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, we'll get to our Barnes Firm injury report and, of course, your phone calls, 803-0550. 803-0550. We have open phone lines right now. You want to jump in. You want to jump on board. What did you think about yesterday's game? We got a lot to get to on the game. I got my arrow up, arrow down column at WGR550.com. You can like what you saw, not like what you saw. There's a big debate going on about how well they're playing or not well they're playing. And I said this is going to happen, right? I mean, like when you win games a lot, but you don't blow teams out and you don't have your best performance, you're inevitably going to get, and I got this already, on social last night, at Sal Sports, on social media, people saying, well, if they play like that against the Chiefs, if they play like that in the playoffs, yep, here's the good news. It wasn't a playoff game, and they didn't have to win that game. Every game's different. What have I said for many years? Every game has its own DNA. Every game has its own DNA. Every week is different. Every matchup is different. I mean, you want to look at it that way, look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the way they're winning games. I guarantee you they're saying the same thing in Kansas City this morning. Well, if we play like that in Buffalo next week, we're going to lose, and it's not going to be undefeated anymore. Because now it is an undefeated Chiefs team, 9-0, rolling into Orchard Park next week, Highmark Stadium, to take on 9-0, to take on the Buffalo Bills. No, the Chiefs are 9-0, Max. Yeah, they're 9-0 after yesterday. They haven't played 10 games yet. So, see, I got Max trying to correct me here. He's like, listen to the show and saying, no, Dad, they're 10-0. They're 9-0. But maybe next week they get to 9-1. We're going to go through the standings and everything else. All right, listen, we are live on the WGR Facebook page. Thank you. Hi, everybody. And just so everybody knows, I did not forget. I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to lift up my shirt here. Sorry for all. I'm going to lift up my shirt on the video. Got the Buffalo Victory Monday. There you go. Victory Monday. Josh, can everybody see that? I think everybody can see that right there. So,
oh, yeah.
There we go. All right, Victory Monday.
See the Sabres quarter zip in there as well.
I know, right? Well, I'm getting ready. I got to wear my Sabres gear today when I go down and sit down and cheer on the Buffalo Sabres with my son today, as maybe people are coming down. Hopefully a good crowd today. I mean, there you go. There you go. There's Max with his J.J. Paterka. Here you go, buddy. I love it, man. It's a great day today, right? It's a Buffalo Victory Monday. By the way, if you're watching on the Facebook page, it's WGR. It's facebook.com/WGR550. And if you're coming aboard and you are watching there, I can't interact with you on there. You can do that, but you can comment on the page. You can watch the show, of course, here from KeyBank Center. Or you can just listen in today to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have a lot to get to. All right, this game, where do you start? I like to do a little big picture, small picture kind of deal when it comes to this kind of thing, right? Because there's the small picture, if you will, of the game and how it all unfolded. And there's the big picture of what it means in the standings going forward. So I'll give time for you to give some calls here at 803-0550 while I run through some of the notes that I have, what I wrote about at WGR550.com, some of the good and the bad, the arrow up, arrow down that I always write after a game. There wasn't much arrow down, but one interesting thing is I gave Josh Allen an arrow down in this game. I don't think Josh played a very good game yesterday, but he did enough to win, right? A bad game for Josh. Uneven game for Josh, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't even call it bad. It was uneven. I thought he was a bit up and down. But here's the good news. When your elite, you know, amazing quarterback goes 22 of 37 with no touchdowns and two interceptions, less than 60%. When he's not on, he's not playing well, and you still win a game by 10 points, I think that shows a lot about the team, the rest of the team, what everybody else around the roster is doing. Says a lot about the coaching, the preparation, and of course, the defense. This game was won because of defense. There's no doubt about that. And that said, even though the game was won on defense, it was also a game that looked like they were going to get run over by Jonathan Taylor, at least maybe not on the scoreboard, but he looked like he was going to go for well over 200 yards and have an amazing day. Because in the first half, Jonathan Taylor ran 16 times for 107 yards. Second half, Bills clamped down. What is it about? You know, how many people have I had call over the years say, where's the adjustments? Bills don't make adjustments. It's such low-hanging fruit that is just not true. This year, just if you're going to call or write that, put down the phone. Don't send it. Don't call to say it. Put down the phone. Don't send it on Twitter. The Bills have been amazing at adjustments this year. That's actually carried them in a lot of these games. All these slow starts. Now, you can complain about slow starts. There's no doubt about that. And that is something you need to fix. They had a fast start on defense yesterday. But one thing they've done amazing, they've been amazing at this year, is adjustments in game, adjustments at halftime. Here's another game where here comes Jonathan Taylor. Oh, my God, 107 yards rushing in the first half. Yeah, he had seven in the second half on five carries. Another great adjustment by the Bills. And they've been doing that all year. The Bills kind of let the game play a little bit. They play the long game this year. It's one thing I really like about this team, although it gets a little bit scary and it gets, okay, what are you doing? First half, you're not feeling good. Third quarter starts to feel a little bit better. Then at the end of the game, maybe, you know, now you're ultimately, okay, we have something in control here. But one thing they've done this year that I've been impressed with is they've let the game kind of play out a little bit and then figured out what do we need to do as the game goes on to make sure that, you know, we buckle up in some of these areas. So they did that yesterday, despite Josh Allen's two interceptions, 280 yards passing. Now, Josh did go over 300 yards of total offense. So here's an uneven game for Josh, and he still has 300 yards of total offense. And that total offense included Mac Hollins' best game, I would say, in a Bills uniform for, you know, a couple of the catches that he made, a couple of great throws by Josh, obviously. Mac goes four catches for 86 yards. He did not score a touchdown, but he had a huge 44-yard catch down the field where he caught it, had the presence of mind to get up and run out of bounds to save the timeout. The Bills still had one timeout, but he gets out of bounds with 8 seconds left. The Bills had one more shot. They wound up, Josh did, throwing the ball away, and then Tyler Bass kicks a field goal. Arrow up, arrow down. I'll go through some of the other good and bad throughout the game, but mostly this game fell on the defense and takeaways until the offense really needed, and they did. The offense still complimented them with a couple of nice drives. In fact, late in the game, when the offense really needed a drive, they got their drive. They got the drive that they needed late in the game. It was the closeout drive is what I like to call it. And when the Bills get the ball, let me read what happened here. 10-point lead with 9:46 left, all right? Bills get a 10-point lead with 9:46 left. There's something in football we all know, it's called the two-minute offense, right? When you need to speed up, when you need to go fast, when you need to score because there's 2 minutes left in the game and you got to get some points. There's also something called the four-minute offense. It's actually completely opposite than the two-minute offense. The four-minute offense is when you want to slow the game down, grind it out, take time off the clock, close out the game. The Bills were in a four-minute offense mode with 9:46 remaining. They got the ball at their own 16-yard line after a Taylor Rapp interception. They needed a long, sustained drive, and they got it. 13 plays, 84 yards. They took 6:42 off that clock, leaving the Colts no time and down three scores, essentially. So it was just, it's the kind of drive they needed. And how many times over the last couple of years have we said the Bills can't close out games? They closed this one out. They closed this one out with a really nice drive, and they needed it. And they converted three third downs on that drive. That was a nice closeout. But it was set up by a defense with four takeaways. The Bills took the ball away four times in this game. They lead the NFL in takeaways. Three interceptions, a fumble recovery. Of course, started by Taron Johnson. He gets 7 points. They also get 10 more points off turnovers, 17 points off turnovers by the Bills in this game. All right, a lot to get to today. We'll take your phone calls at 803-0550. Josh Schmidt back at Network Control running the board. Let's start it off with Billy in Toronto, who's first up. Hi, Billy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, how you doing, Sal?
Good.
Yeah, listen. You know, the last couple of years that I've called in, I thought that, you know, I told you straight out the Bills are winning the Super Bowl. And there was no question about it. And I'm a little bit, and they didn't do it, and I'm a little bit funny this year because I'm seeing it a different way, and I hope that's the, you know, it works in reverse for me. You know, Sal, I don't see a team in this league, and we know who the top four or five who we think has got a chance to win it all, but I see somebody coming from right field. I really do. The teams have not looked good. Kansas City reminds me of Pittsburgh a couple of years ago when they got off to that 10-0 start and everybody crowned them the champs. Kansas City has not looked good. When you think Baltimore is the best team in football, they get beat by Cleveland. Last night, Detroit should have got beat by Houston. And, you know, I know it's just the season playing out, but I'll tell you this. I see something funky happening this year, and I hope it's, you know, I really hope it's the Bills winning the whole damn thing, but I see something funky. It's just, it has been a funny year. The thing I want to say, though, about the Kansas City game coming up, look, yes, we need this game, you know, for having first overall, but I think we can go into their house or they can come into our house and beat us. So, I mean, it's an important game. We want it for bragging rights, but it's not the end all. But the one question I ask, please, Josh, don't make this about you and Patrick Mahomes. Just win the damn game. And number two, if that Mahomes is running down the sidelines and he looks like he's going out of bounds, please don't fall for it, Buffalo. I don't care if he steps out of bounds and you drill him into next week and you take a 15-yard penalty. I don't care. But don't let this guy be foolish with us. Enough of him faking every guy out and just you know, making people look silly. I really think that we get him this week. I think we get him easy, but I hope it leads us right to the Super Bowl. That's all I got, Sal.
You got it, Billy. Well, maybe Mahomes will get an assist from the referee telling him somebody's close by. Did you see that on social last night? Did you see the video? Mahomes telling the referee, can you tell him when he's close? I don't know. I just think, I don't know. Is he joking? I don't even know the context. I didn't look deep into it. I know the guys talked about it this morning. I don't think, Billy, that Josh makes it, or he has made it even in these other games against Kansas City, about him versus Mahomes. I don't think that at all. Josh has played well in these games. Obviously, he had the lead with 13 seconds left, walked off the field. Drove him down last year, hit Stephon Diggs right in the hands. Great pass, dropped it in the playoff game, and then they get in a position where he has a throw to make to Khalil Shakir and unfortunately can't step into it. I don't think Josh has done that. Not saying that you're saying he has, but I think this is a, you know, Josh has played the kind of football that the Bills have wanted Josh to play over the last few years, taking care of it a little bit more. And he's going to have to do that against a Kansas City team that's not going to give you a lot. They're certainly not. They have a very good defense. The Bills and the Chiefs, both top 10 in the NFL in points allowed. Should be a fun game. See, here we are. First call in. We're already talking about the Chiefs game next week. You guys already passed this game yesterday. I'm not. I want to talk about it, but you're right. It's a big game next week here in Orchard Park. Let's get to Scott in Clarence. Hi, Scott. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, good morning. Another good win for the Bills. They're finding ways to win, which is awesome. You know, the point I want to make is this. Josh Allen has a reputation around the league. He's a tough SOB, and he fights. And what happens is, with these guys being so competitive, they're going to come up against his reputation as a tough guy, and they're taking liberties that the refs are allowing. That lineman who punched him in the head three times, yeah, he should be suspended. You know, and the refs are allowing this, and it's wrong. Josh is getting beat up, and it's not right. And the other thing I'm saying is this. Josh's arm doesn't look as strong as it looked at the beginning of the season. His passes aren't quite as frozen rope, as rocket-like. And I'm thinking, this has to do with how much he's getting beat up. The refs have to do something about this. And really, that's what I'm saying. The Bills are finding a way to win, even with all the injuries, and that's exactly what Kansas City does. They find a way to win. So, go Bills. That's what I got.
Yeah, you got it, Scott. Thanks for the phone call. You're talking about the play, by the way, Deo Odeyingo. I keep pronouncing his name incorrectly, and I apologize. I'm not going to try it again. I apologize. I had the pronunciation yesterday. I did it in the broadcast. I was fine. My apologies on that. But anyway, he punched Josh Allen trying to go for the ball when Josh was on a quarterback sneak. And then he tried to punch the ball. You could see, didn't come out. Punched again and got Josh in the head. Then they're on the ground. He punched him again, it looked like. He's like three times. I agree with you. Like, why is that not a penalty? Where are the officials? The officials are looking at the spot. They're trying to, you know, spot the ball. It's crazy. Should have been a penalty. Then the other one that upset me was Josh scores the touchdown and he's thrown out of bounds, essentially, at the end of the play. Spencer Brown comes over. Now, he was well out of bounds. He gets thrown out of bounds. The defender acted like he was trying to hold off, but he threw him down onto the ground. Spencer Brown runs over to get in the player's face, and he gets called for an unsportsmanlike conduct. That creates a very long extra point for Tyler Bass. We're supposed to be in a league where you're protecting quarterbacks, and it seems like it's way too arbitrary when you protect quarterbacks and when you don't. Now, look, I'm all for the, are you kidding me, they glanced him in the helmet, why are you throwing that? But if you're going to throw it when they glance him in the helmet, why do you not throw it when he gets thrown to the ground? That happened in the game the other night, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow twice had his face mask grabbed and pushed on or pushed in or whatever you want to call it. Once earlier in the game and then once on the final play where they're going for two. And that wasn't called. And you're supposed to be protecting quarterbacks here, right? So I get it. It's to me, it's the inconsistency of it. No doubt about it. As far as him getting hit, I agree with you about the it seems like there's some balls that are just a little bit short arm, short throws. But then he throws rockets to, like, oh, my God, Mac Hollins. Not the one that he kept alive. That was a good throw. If you remember, there was another play to Mac Hollins later, the one in the second half, where he throws this tight window, tight rope. Mac's on the left sideline, the near sideline for the TV broadcast. He just throws this rope to Mac Hollins. And it was incredible because I don't think many people could actually throw that ball and squeeze it in there the way Josh did. So I also see that happening sometimes. Thanks for the phone call. We'll take another one here. We'll get to Mark, who's out in Denver. Hi, Mark. Mike. I'm sorry, Mike in Denver. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I'd like to talk about the first down running plays. Oh, my God. Can we get some variety and some – I mean, it's always that first down straight up the middle handoff. And they're always seemingly behind the sticks, and they get to, like, second down and eight, second down and nine. And they need to come up with some variety, some jet sweeps where you bring a running back or, I mean, a wide receiver and you flip it to them, or some sweeps like the old Green Bay sweep. I know the Bills in the 90s there used to run that so-called Green Bay sweep. Maybe more out of the where Josh is under center and you have an eye formation. It just seemingly, whenever they run that ball up the middle, they're just not having very much luck with that at all.
Okay, let me just say it this way, okay? I agree. I'd like more runs or passes on first down, especially more play action. They're not built to be a sweep team. You're asking for something that they're not going to be good at. They're a zone running team. What you call a run up the middle is not a run up the middle. What it is, it's a zone blocking play. It's a play where there's somebody, there's a trap, there's a zone. There's a lot of action happening between the center and the guard, even the tackle coming across. I don't disagree with you, Mike, that I'd like to see more throwing on first down. The Bills are trying to get, you know, 4 yards, make it second and six. They can live with that. I'd like to see more. The Bills are actually not, like, there are teams that are actually even more run-heavy on first down. The Bills are one of the more run-heavy teams. But the way you describe it, this is not 1985. They're not banging a fullback up the middle. There actually are plays that they're designed that are, you know, zone blocking schemes with pulling and trapping that's happening. It's not just banging your head up the middle. You know what I mean? Are you there? Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what you – and I get it. Like, you watch on TV, you're like, okay, here we go again. So let me look at the downs analysis. And I agree with you. I'm not pushing back, Mike, that I'd like to see a little bit more throwing on first down as well. But the Bills here rank – they have gone here at first and 10. Let me see if I can – okay. Yards to go. On first down, the Bills this year – I have this right here from the NFL, literally from the NFL game and information system. First down and 10 this year. The Bills have had 136 total plays. Rushes, which ranks eighth in the NFL on that. I don't know the percentage, though, I guess. I'd have to look that up as well. They're averaging 4.66 yards on those plays. I mean, you'll take that. You'll take 4.66 yards on a first down and 10 run. That's close to 5 yards a carry. I'm not disagreeing. I'd like more variety. I would tell you, though, for me, the variety comes in maybe go a little bit more play action. You are running the ball a lot. I've actually seen the Bills under center a lot more this year. I like that. Josh is in shotgun a lot, but he's actually more under center this year than what I've seen over the last couple of years. I've been calling for more under center. I'd like to see Ray Davis run the ball a little bit more on first down. Get a little power run in there, or even on any down, actually. He's not yesterday again. It's kind of interesting. It was a narrow down for me of why Ray Davis is still not, you know, getting the touches. Maybe next week is a little bit different week for him. So, Mike, I understand what you're saying. I would ask you, though, to watch what they're actually doing on first down with the runs. You talk about the Green Bay sweep and all these. This is not a sweep team. This is not a team. You can try to get to the edges. This is not the kind of team the Bills. And these defenses they're playing, they're fast. They get to the edges very fast. And the Bills, what they are, it's a good zone running team. These zone runs are designed to go a little bit off tackle, a little bit off guard. There's traps and pulling that's happening. It's not just taking a fullback and slamming them up the middle. So I agree with you on more, you know, passing needed on first down, but, you know, I don't think you have to reinvent anything here as far as the designed runs. But, yeah, I mean, it does seem a little vanilla. It is by design. And, look, I mean, they're protecting the ball, and they're winning games. And right now, until that formula goes awry, they're probably going to Stay with it. Thanks a lot for the phone call, Mike. 803-0550 is the number to call here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The Bills with a 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. It started off with an amazing play from Taron Johnson. I want to tell you about how Taron Johnson is so good at his job. He's amazing at his job. You take anybody in the NFL and how good they are at what they do, I think Taron Johnson is as good at his job as anybody else is at their job in the National Football League. He started that game with that pick six. And if you want to think about it, this is not just a bad throw by Joe Flacco, all right? Yes, you can look into what is Flacco doing. Taron Johnson, after the game, told me, when I asked him, you know, what happened on the interception? This is how insanely dialed in these guys are at what they do, and Taron Johnson here specifically. He said, well, I saw that play against Miami. They ran it, and I didn't play it the way I wanted to play it. So he sees the same formation. Now, look, Miami probably, I'm sorry, Indy sees the play on film. It works against the Bills. So they go with the same type of play, same type of formation, and they run it. And what does Taron do? He recognizes it. And then he gets the exact depth that he wants on it, and he's right there. That's film study. That's him saying, hey, if I see this play again unfolding, I know exactly where I want to be. He sees it. He does. He jumps up. He gets the interception. And then, what a great job to take it to the house. Don't ever discount the fact that, hey, you don't know. You might not get there. You might have to settle for a field goal. You might turn the ball over. Bills get a turnover later in the game. They turn it right back. You get to the end zone when you can. Taron Johnson absolutely did. And then later in the game, he has a sack as well. He finished the game with the interception, the pick six that turned into, a sack, three total tackles, a quarterback hit, and a pass breakup. This guy could be in line for AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He became the first Bills defensive back ever in franchise history with a pick six and a sack in the same game. Taron Johnson, excellent game yesterday for the Buffalo Bills. One of four takeaways for the Buffalo Bills. All right, we're going to take a timeout now. We'll come back here in a little while. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have open phone lines right now. 803-0550 is the number to call here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. When we come back, we'll get into injuries. I'll do a Barnes Firm injury report. We'll talk more about what happened yesterday and then look big picture also around the league live from KeyBank Center where the Sabres are taking on the Montreal Canadiens today at 12:30 p.m.
Makes the handoff, play action, pressure coming, and the screen is intercepted by Austin Johnson, his second interception of the season. He got one back in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. The defensive tackle, two interceptions on the season, unreal.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off! Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field, has Rasul Douglas blocking, five, touchdown Buffalo! The first offensive play for the Colts is a touchdown for the Bills! Taron Johnson with a 22-yard interception return for a touchdown!
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills win their fifth in a row after starting the season 3-0, then losing a couple games to go to 3-2. They've now won five straight games. They are 8-2 for the first time since 1993. And they still have a stranglehold on the division. They're going to win the division soon at some point here. Not exactly sure how quickly, but we'll go through all of that a little while. A little Small picture, big picture, right, if you want to do that. Little micro macro today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in, Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I am live from KeyBank Center. That's why you hear that noise, that rumbling in the background. No, that rumbling is not Aaron Rodgers getting upset again at somebody else on his team. That rumbling is KeyBank Center and the scoreboard getting ready to welcome fans in today for the Sabres against the Canadiens at 12:30. Sabres on a nice three-game win streak and a chance here against a team that they're ahead of in the standings as well to get their fourth win. By the way, this scoreboard is amazing. It's awesome. When you've even been to KeyBank Center yet to see the new scoreboard, you got to get here. You got to see it. All right, let's head back out to the phone lines right now. Let's go to John, who's on a cell. I believe John is ready. Go ahead, John. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
We're on our way back from Indianapolis. Oh, my God, what a fantastic game and a beautiful stadium. And our fans, I swear, are one of the best in the league.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, guy. It's just amazing. My voice is gone. I apologize.
I love it. No, it's all right. I've been there, man. I love it.
Dude, we went to Baltimore 2 years ago. We went to D.C. We take over the town. It's crazy.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you a couple things. So we're up way high. Our section, I felt bad for the Colts fans. We're mostly Bills fans. But what I thought was a disadvantage or unfair was that the PA system was playing music.
Yeah.
When the Bills were in the huddle, but when the Colts were on the field, it was dead quiet. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting to that.
I thought I noticed that a couple times. It was weird to me. Now, I don't think it was while when they broke the huddle, and I know you didn't say this, but when Josh was calling, you know, signals at the line, but I did think that a couple times, like, boy, they're letting this music play a little bit too long, aren't they?
Right, yeah, and I'm looking at it, and I saw Josh was able to make a couple audibles, right? He was able to do that. But then I said to myself, I looked at John and my friend, I go, this is really unfair right now. Overall, what a great stadium, great atmosphere, but, man, the Bills fans, we went down. I saw you taking video of the fans. It was incredible. So.
Hopefully you were in that video. I posted it at Sal Sports on Twitter to show the Bills Mafia takeover of Indy. It was amazing. I mean, I will tell you this too, John. I'll tell you this. On the field, two different security guards personnel said to me, "Holy cow, this is like a home game for the Bills." I said, "I know. It's amazing, isn't it?"
Right. And I have a water buffalo hat. And, you know, I'm in the elevator, and one of the guests goes, "Oh, you're one of those?" I go, "Yep, we're taking over the town."
I love it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, John. Yeah,
hey,
you got it.
Have a great day. Go Bills.
All right. Yeah, let's go out of state down to Florida where Steven is standing by. Hi, Steven. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to say, first of all, I've been following the Bills since the 60s, and, you know, I remember when Van Miller was the voice of the Buffalo Bills. You and Chris and Eric have really filled those big shoes. I think you guys do a great job of calling and commenting on the games.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I will tell you this. You know, we all, you know, miss Murph, and I know that, you know, the circumstances led to him not being able to do the games. Chris has done a wonderful job. He's great to work with. Eric, of course, is, to me, for my money, I've been around a lot of color analysts, and Eric analyzes the game as well as anybody, because he says a lot of things that really help people who can't see the game and tell you what's going on. But the real magic behind what we do, I got to give a shout out to Greg Harvey and Todd Brody, who are up in the booth and pushing the buttons and telling us what we need to, you know, the reads we need and our cues, and those guys go unnoticed. So I just wanted to say that since you opened the door for me. I'm going to give you an example here, and I'm going to let you say what you want to say after that, Steven, but I'm going to give you an example. The last 5 minutes of the game, you wouldn't know this, I had a hot mic because they literally lost control of the console. Something happened where a bug got into the system, and they said, "Sal, we're just turning your mic on, and if you talk, you're hot." So we had to communicate through text if I had to go on the air. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, so definitely the people behind the scenes are, you know, part of that for sure. I wanted to say this. First of all, major kudos to the defense. They have, I mean, when, you know, Matt Milano got injured in practice, we go, oh, no, here we go again. And by the way, I was encouraged to hear he was out there yesterday, you know, and they're saying not supposed to be back till December, so we'll see. But the defense really stepped up, and they proved that because the first score was the defense with that pick six. So that was great. The other thing I wanted to say is this. You can comment on this, get your opinion on this, but I was texting a friend of mine during the game, and he said the same thing I did. I think when it was in the second quarter, I think Buffalo was up 10-0, or maybe it was 10-7, but I think that Buffalo, instead of going for it on fourth down, you know, Chris and Eric commented at that point, they were 9-for-9 and converting fourth down. I think they should have gone for the field goal at that point instead of going for it, because they lost the ball then, and then I think the Colts were able to score off of that.
I remember the play. I'm going to try and find the exact play. Here's what I didn't love, actually. It's funny you say that, Steve, because I didn't mind going for it, but I agree with you that maybe the field goal was the right play there. Get up two score, or get up another score. You're playing well on defense. I didn't love the third down quarterback sneak. It was too far for me. You know what I mean? There was a third down quarterback sneak before that. And I know Josh is really good at it, but that was too far, that third down quarterback sneak they used with Josh. That's what I didn't like on that series.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that upset their momentum. I agree with you. He should have, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, thanks. I remember the play, and I don't totally disagree. But you know what? On a day filled of, you know, a lot of different things, hey, if that's the one thing we're going to pick at, that's okay. Right, Steve? So I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for the phone call. All right, let's go another out-of-state. Here we have Tim in Dallas. Tim, what's going on? You're on WGR.
Hey, happy Victory Monday, Sal.
You too.
I want to ask you, I know the trade line is come and gone, but, man, just given the offense, trying to move the ball downfield, was a little tough yesterday, but we got the win. And what were we in contention of getting somebody else? I know we got Cooper. But with Coleman going down, Cooper's not available. We knew that, but is there a reason why we didn't try to get another receiver on the team?
I mean, listen, my best guess would be, and of course I don't, you know, I'm not in Brandon Bean's office tapping into his phone, as you know, but I will tell you this. You know, bringing in new receivers from the outside is always kind of a tricky deal. They brought in, you know, you have a ramp up time, get on the same page. I think they like their receiving core. They felt they needed one more. They got Amari Cooper, but you can't predict the injuries. Amari gets hurt. Keon Coleman gets hurt. You know, I think they like the fact that they have guys that have been in the system in this organization, and they're elevating them and signing them to the roster. I think yesterday what you saw, Tim, was just a simple, hey, you're right. I mean, a little bit of a grind to move the ball, but at the same time, I mean, you think about that receiving core they had out there, no Amari Cooper, no Keon Coleman. That makes it a lot easier on a defense. I don't know if they were in the mix for another receiver. My guess is probably not. I mean, you know, you're overhauling, you're already bringing in Amari Cooper. I think they really like the group they have other than that. So not really sure. But they're always on the lookout. And if somebody's out there, now the trade deadline has passed. If somebody's out there on the waiver wire, or somebody's out there as a free agent, you never know, because right now they have some injuries to deal with.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
You got it. Let's go to Sandy in Grand Island. Hi, Sandy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks.
Hey, man, I just want to say I called last week, and I was talking about, and one of you guys topped me. I said, man, the Bills got to keep running that five-man line. And I don't know if it was Shope or someone said, you know, they agreed with me. They said, but I think better would be to run a four-man line, and you got three linebackers, and you're surprising on which one was going to go in. That's the interceptions that happened, the pressure. It worked. It worked. They were running it. We were calling it last night on the game, yesterday during the game. And I'm just hoping that they push that over to Kansas City.
Do you mean, are you talking about running three linebackers?
You said run three linebackers with a four-man front, and then surprise him with one of those linebackers.
I know, but what I'm saying is I don't think they ran three linebackers at all yesterday, because Taron Johnson is a nickelback. They run five defensive backs. It's two linebackers, and in fact, they played a lot of dime defense, but I do think that they had a few blitzes in the second half that you didn't know where they were coming from for sure.
And believe me, that works. I'm telling you, if they do that against Kansas, I know how good Patrick is. If you throw a little pressure on him, it's going to make him adjust a little bit, and he may not be as accurate. He may not have that potential. You can't give him the time. You know that. The better the quarterback,
yeah.
I think blitzing, you're taking a chance. Yeah, you're leaving somebody more open in the outfield, out in field. But at the same time, you pressure him. I don't think he's going to do quite as good. Two things. 30 years, 8-2. My prediction, Buffalo 34-31. If they put that pressure on Patrick Mahomes, it's done. We're winning.
All right, 34-31. That would be a real high-scoring game for these two teams, but you never know. With Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, of course, going at it. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. KeyBank Center, that's where I am today on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show. You can watch on our Facebook stream, WGR 550 on Facebook. Check us out there. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour with another segment and more of your phone calls. Head into hour number two with a lot more phone calls. So we have open phone lines right now at 803-0550.
Blitz coming. Allen looking deep down the middle for Knox. Over his shoulder, he makes the catch. Down to the 12-yard line. They're going to mark him at the 13.
All right, listen up right now. Be caller 5 or 6 to win a combo ticket to the Total Sports Public Autograph signing on November 16th at TSC Buffalo in Orchard Park. This combo ticket's going to give you the opportunity to get an item autographed by Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Shane Conlon, and Reuben Brown. Bring your own item or purchase an item at the event. Visit tscbuffalo.com for other ticket options and details. Caller number 5 or 6 right now at 716-221-4WGR. So that's 4947. 716-221-4947. Let's get back out to the phone lines right now. Ryan in Toronto is standing by. Hi, Ryan. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Wow, my man. I love what you do, bro. On the
thanks,
field,
buddy.
On the air, and on podcast. I listen to you all the time, bro.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate that.
Listen, I want to ask you an honest question. I want you to give me an honest answer.
Yeah.
All right? Curtis Samuel, $8.5 million, 4 catches, 35 yards yesterday.
And that's even MVS, more than he's had. That's even more than he's had.
MVS had three receptions, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. Where did we make a mistake in this? Be honest with us. Please.
Well, I don't think it has to be.
Brandon Bean made a mistake by letting go of MVS because he paid Curtis Samuel and he had to obligate, you know what, I got to keep this guy and not, you know what, here you go. Be honest with yourself. I'm just asking you, man, that's it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be honest with you, that's all. I mean, listen, I mean, I don't know if you can call it a mistake right now. It's one game for MVS. He couldn't get on the field in Buffalo for whatever reason. You know, I think more than anything, to me, it's not about MVS. I don't think that was ever anything that was going to move the needle for me anyway. He can make a few big plays, and he's getting an opportunity. He has a different role in New Orleans. You have to think about that. Chris Olave is out, right? I mean, they're playing him in a different style, different role, and hey, good for him.
But for me, he wasn't
going to play over, you know, some of the guys here. For me, it's about Curtis Samuel. The mistake, if you want to call it that, or the issue is, why is Curtis Samuel not ingrained in this offense? I don't think it's about Curtis Samuel versus MVS. I think you're making it out to be that. My honest answer is, to me, it's just about more about Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel should be more involved, and he's not, and I don't know if it goes back to the injury. I don't know why it hasn't happened. They tried to target him more yesterday. He had a better game yesterday, not as much. I think the MVS part doesn't bother me at all. That's going to happen. He wasn't going to play that kind of a role in Buffalo. He had a nice game yesterday for New Orleans. They found him a couple times. I don't care about that. I don't think he was ever going to move the needle here. So, to me, it's more about Curtis Samuel and getting him more involved, not about MVS. Does that make sense?
I don't know, man. I honestly just don't get it. I don't buy it. But
well,
yeah,
I mean, he's Well, he's on his like third or fourth team in the last couple of years. I mean, you know, there's a reason for that. And sure, if you think, all the power to you, though, if you want to say you think MVS would be the guy that would, you know, spearhead this receiving group and he'd be amazing here, I'm not convinced of that because he had 2 touchdown catches in New Orleans yesterday.
Yeah, but look at the schedule ahead of us right now, Sal.
Yeah.
You got KC coming up.
Yep.
5 week, San Fran. Do we not think that maybe I'm just shooting the stats right now. Based on what I saw from MVS yesterday, to what Curtis Samuel did, you know what? I'd rather have MVS on the roster.
Okay. Period. Okay. Thanks a lot for the phone call. 803-0550 is the number to call. And no doubt you could be a title that. Listen, they still have some issues at wide receiver. I think a lot of the injuries have mattered here. I don't know which receiver you'd get rid of if you go back to getting Amari Cooper. You don't have to get rid of one, I guess. You could keep MVS or somebody on the roster, but they had to make decisions. And I know people would say, well, you could have got rid of Matt Collins. I think yesterday we saw Matt Collins is valuable to what they want. Listen, I mean, these things should never be considered in a vacuum. Just because one guy has a game for one team doing something, he's playing a different role. This, you know what this reminds me of? In a lot of ways, reminds me of Isaiah Hodgins. And when he went to the Giants and had this big blow-up year, and people were really up in arms in Buffalo. Oh, my God, look what he's doing. He was in a different role there. And then what wound up happening? And ultimately, he didn't wind up playing for the Giants because his role shifted there, too, because they realized he couldn't handle the things that, you know, overall, through the long game, he would be asked to do for the New York Giants offense. So I respect it. I get it. And MVS put some time in. I'm not defending necessarily anything here other than I think you have to take the big picture perspective of what the wide receiver group looks like here. And to me, it's much more about the complaint should be and the issue should be Curtis Samuel, not Curtis Samuel versus MVS, if that makes sense. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll run through what happened yesterday in week number 9 in the NFL. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have open phone lines right now at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday here on WGR.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.